I was looking at the overview that Matthew and his team put together. I mean, it just seems like it's a no-brainer. I mean, this saves so much time and cost, makes things so much more efficient for all the different stakeholders involved in some of these problems. I mean, I guess Daryl and John, when we were talking about preparing for this presentation, you were saying, don't focus on selling SSI, you know, focus on sort of selling a solution. Can you sort of give the audience a little bit more background of what you mean there? Maybe give some examples of how you've used that approach for some success.
I was on mute. Do you want to go first, Daryl?
I was actually saying, do you want to go? Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, we're around to help people and help businesses. And so my experience has been that if I work closely with business leaders, so in this case, in the BC government, I worked with, and I'm working with the registrar, so the BC Registry Services, and we've worked together since day one. And our problem was to try to help businesses, you know, work with the government. It's a long-standing issue, you know, again, because of the experience, this jointed experience of being partly in a paper fax world and partly in this kind of pseudo-digital world. You know, it's not a very good experience. And so the discovery is driven through trying to help keep the business person and the citizen in mind. And similarly, in the federal government, when I worked there, I worked actually in the business side. I worked for the Office of Small and Medium Enterprises, and our goal is to help small businesses do business with the federal government. And, you know, before that, working in telecom, working with customers, and before that, working in a small business that, you know, small businesses have to be customer focused, or else it turns out you're not in business anymore. So that's my heritage. It's just like, what's the business problem we're trying to solve, and then go and find appropriate technical solutions. Sometimes it's, you know, it's not technology, it's the business process. Fix that first. So that's kind of how, you know, we approach this. And I think what I like best about this particular technology model is that it's well aligned with what we already do today in person. Literally today in person, your customers, you know, we were talking yesterday, you know, we sign documents. This is something that stemmed from, let's see, Statute of Frauds in 1677 in England, which said contracts must be written and signed. We're still doing that today, which is fine, except we live in this world with a global digital network and we do business, you know, not in person anymore. And yet we have no underpinning infrastructure to support the risks that it represents, that I can't know what's going on the other side of the internet, any level of assurance. And that's our fundamental issue. And what blocks us from that is we have no technical means to have a relationship over an internet or a digital network without an intermediary called the account service. And we don't know how to trust that. That's fundamental. Like, imagine you had some random character in between you and every one of your customers. How do you manage that? Like, you just, you know, it's unimaginable in the in-person world. So why do we do it in the digital world? Well, it's a byproduct of mainframes. You can blame IBM.
Take a look at the again, it comes back to the business problem. What's the problem we're trying to solve? Mm-hmm. One of my main clients, C Ledger, they work with credit unions. Credit unions are, for those who don't know, they're just like banks. They're just owned by you. I think we have one strange bank in Canada, which is owned by its citizens. That might be on the call, ATB. But it's an interesting group that they're there to serve their members. But when you walk into a branch, you have this in-person experience, as John's talking about, when you're pretty certain that the person behind the counter works for the credit union. Therefore, you as a member can trust them. They need to check you out and you got to pull out your ID. And it's quite easy to fake these in various different jurisdictions. So they have a fraud problem, but largely speaking, you identify yourself. In Canada, we tend to use our chip and PIN cards to do that. So that's when I'm there in person. When I go to log in though, I'm using a username and a password. Hopefully my password isn't 12345. It's at least as complex as 123456. We know that those passwords are already compromised. We know that people are getting ripped off all the time. People are incurring the liability. The weird thing is we're acting totally differently when we're going into the digital, the mobile and the web world. And things get even stranger when I call in. So when I walk in, it's fairly normal. When I log in, it's kind of weird, username and password, highly insecure. We write them down on post-it notes and people will know them. But when I call in, it gets really strange because they actually treat me like a criminal. They will ask me, you know, what's your mother's maiden name? What's your favorite color? I got locked out of my credit card recently. It asked me, what's your dream car? I drive a Jeep. I'm not a car guy. I had happened to have rented a car on a trip at one point and used that as my answer. And I totally forgotten it. I got locked out because of that. So they go through this stuff. And one of the CEOs of a credit union I was talking to said, basically, we treat our members like criminals in order to try and protect the credit union and the member from fraud through the call center. So as credit unions try to implement more and more procedures to protect themselves, they tie themselves into a bigger knot. When they go to a vendor that says, I want to have this app that you can put on, like Cisco Duo or something, it costs them $3 to $4 a month per person, which means they can't do it. I can't even use that when I walk into the credit union anyways. So what we've done is create a little very basic app that they run. And then we're owned, the CU Ledger is owned by credit unions. That's what another unique thing. They receive a notice that happens when they says basically, hey, Daryl, are you signing in at the credit union? I don't need to announce myself, just use my device for that. When I call the call center, it'll say, hey, Daryl, are you talking to the call center? Because the credit union wants to know that I still control my device and the credential, like Jimmy had, on my phone. So that's cool. The credit union knows this. But what was really strange, and we should have thought of this in the past, but the feedback we got from members was, it's really awesome to know it's actually the credit union on the other end. So we actually have this two-way channel that we weren't even thinking about. But it's a very simple problem. Make it easy for me to do business with you. No one woke up and said, I need a better digital identity today.